Moment to exercise our spirit in the presence of the Lord. The counsel of God is hidden in the move of His Spirit. You see, when the Holy Ghost moves upon your heart, you might have a good experience, you might have a good feeling. But what God intends to do is not to give you a good feeling. Embedded in that move of the Spirit upon your heart is a counsel. It's a counsel that God will want you to have. And if you are willing to press a little in the Spirit, then the Spirit of wisdom will bring adequate interpretation of what the Holy Ghost is doing in your spirit man. We want to exercise our spirit in a moment of time so that we can lay hold before we begin to gain mileage tonight. Hallelujah. There are things that are hanging over this city, hanging over the body of Christ in this land. There are several windows of God's mercy that we have missed as a city, and we are hoping that this meeting will begin to bring us to that point where God can invest His counsel upon our heart afresh. Can we ask the Lord concerning the city of Kano that He might show us mercy during the course of this meeting and cause our hearts to adequately understand, to adequately grasp that which His Spirit intends to do in this season? Because there is a restoration of things that have been lost, totally lost, that God is trying to orchestrate one more time. Can we ask the Lord for mercy? Show us mercy, O God, concerning the city of Kano. There are intentions that you have in mind. There are policies that you intend to implement. We ask, O God, that the window of mercy will be opened ajar so that our hearts can comprehend afresh that which you have always intended to do in our city, in our part of Nigeria, the things that you want to begin to pioneer, the things that you want to begin to establish. We want to reach out to the Spirit and ask God for mercy. We want to ask Him for mercy. Ask Him for mercy. Many times when He rises up to accomplish His plan, it ends up at a point of frustration because of the unwillingness of His people to partner with Him, because of a lack of understanding of His position. And so tonight we want to ask that He will show us mercy. We want to ask that He will show us mercy. This is our prayer. This is our petition. We come before Your presence and we ask that You show us Your mercy. The things pertaining to this territory that has been kept hidden for a long time, that it might please You to begin to unravel it again and to plant those sacred seeds upon the hearts of men to occasion a stirring in our spirit that will move us in the right direction. We ask for Your mercy. We ask for Your grace. We ask for Your enablement. Yes, someone needs to reach out to Him. Someone needs to reach out to Him. Someone needs to call upon Him. The matter on ground tonight is bigger than any one man. It is the unveiling of that which is sustained on the heart of God. There is an ordination. There is a plan that God has desperately attempted to accomplish in our locality. That plan involves His people. That plan involves His full soldiers. That plan is critical to the realization of His plan for Northern Nigeria. The gate of Kano has been closed for a long, long time, and the civilizations of heaven have not been able to penetrate. The hearts of men have not been adequately angulated. And so no one is expecting that which God intends to do. So we ask for mercy, that God will break the protocol. He will overcome the resistance. He will take away the obstacle so that He can find your heart, so that He can find my heart. There is something God intends to do. There is a plan He intends to implement. And tonight we fellowship around the Spirit of God that we might be made wise by the witness and the testimony of His Spirit. Someone needs to cry for the city of Kano. There is a revival that God has been attempting again and again and again and again to bring into this land. That revival is going to be an obstacle on the path of the kingdom of darkness. It's going to be an obstacle on the path of the enemy. A mighty obstacle that the enemy will not be able to recover from. It is a plan that He has had in His heart for a very long time. We want to trust Him for the mercies of the heavens, that He will begin to bring us into that ancient plan, into that ancient desire, into that ancient ordination for this territory, that functionaries that understand the text of the desires of God will begin to awake unto strategic responsibility that will move the hand of God over the land. Someone needs to connect with the Lord right now. Our gathering is not unto a man. It's not unto a preacher that is prolific with words. Our gathering is occasioned by the palpitations on the heart of the Holy Spirit. We attempt tonight to understand and to apprehend what God wants to do in Northern Nigeria, that has Kano as a strategic springboard towards His accomplishment. Someone needs to reach out to the Lord and ask Him to penetrate and ask Him to overcome every obstacle that has stood in His way before this time, that His mighty hand will be stretched forth to realize His intent, and that nothing will stop Him, nothing will resist Him. Oh God, confess Amina Kabelaite, Breskofe Labosa Nakapandai, Yakosketo Prendo Kobela Kaseliande, My Kompala Kosi Maya, Oh Kano, Oh Kano. It is the moment of your intervention. It is the moment of your visitation. For God has visited again and again to see if the land is right. And once and again He had had cause to return to His abode, because the ground is not yet ripe. But we want to plead with heaven tonight that God will not return. Can stand successfully as an obstacle in the way of God. Oh, Saike Mosila, we call upon You tonight. We align our hearts tonight. We draw near to You that we might understand. Beat for the land, Your heart beat for Your body, Your heart beat for the territory, Your heart beat for this season. Let us not walk away without insight. Let us not walk away without understanding. Do a quick walk in our midst. Have mercy. Paiko sana bonda minas ke dobroski to biza nahi. Ikambro kombe ke siko paka paka yando. Brahma ka perutos ke to breka ba inzo zani. Bahai compadi seco bahalatala ramparaka sento mina capre heleketeli mahanso se la presco fila bonda baboria. Have mercy on us in Jesus' mighty name. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and aside? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering him, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem and has not known the things which have come to pass in these days? In the eyes of that man, Jesus was a stranger. But the subject that they were discussing was about him. They knew the story, but they did not understand the significance of the story. And because their eyes were closed to the significance of the story that they told, they did not understand this implication. They did not know its relevance. They were alive when the words of the prophets came to pass before their eyes. But their understanding was short that they could not enter into the economy of illumination that was needed to instruct them so that they will know that they lived in the most significant era of the history of Israel. Now, you can be alive in a most significant moment in the destiny of your family, in the destiny of your territory, in the destiny of your nation, and be totally unaware of the significance of the things you read about on your newspapers, the things you read about, because your heart has not yet received that investment that will illuminate it. You know, when my brother Ben was talking about what happened to Moses and how that it came to him, it was destiny that came to him. It was something that was foretold that finally found an accommodation in his heart. It was something that was in keeping with the policy of heaven, something that captured the hopes of the desires of heaven, that finally found a planting within his heart. And he began to ooze out with directives, with instructions, with realities, with understandings. That's how destiny is born. These guys were around destiny. They were around strategic kingdom investments and invents, but they could not enter into the economy of that which God was doing, because their heart had not yet received the seed of illumination. Can we pray this evening and say, Lord, you know, my heart is burdened. You know, how many years ago has it been that I came to this city for youth service? How many years now? 21 years now. 21 years ago, we prayed and we knew that there was a revival that was scheduled for this city. In fact, we touched a little of it. We are products of the mercy drops that came during that season. It is the mercy drops that raised us. Meanwhile, what we felt the Lord wanted to do was an avalanche. Coming back to Kano 21 years later, and the land, the territory, the understanding that is in the body of Christ is far removed from that which God intends to implement. I think it's something we need to weep about for a moment. You can continue doing church. You know, you're just going through the motion. If you have ever been to Lagos and you see where they manufacture soap, so there's a robot there. When soap comes this way, to take soap, to put it here. Take soap, to put it here. And even when no soap is coming, it will go like this. There's no soap, but it maintains the oscillatory motion. For most of us, what we do as church is an oscillatory motion that doesn't have substance. If we continue this way, the body of Christ will be weary, and Satan will gain an additional mind range. Well, I speak in parables. Let us, can we pray and ask that God will bring us to that point of illumination? Illumination is not something you can accomplish with human effort. It is something that is divine. It is something that is accomplished by a work of divinity. And that's what we are trusting God to accomplish this evening, that the Lord will bring us to the place of illumination. Someone needs to cry to Him right now. After 21 years, the land is still dry, but the Lord spoke about a mighty move, a move that will be intertwined with so many dramatic manifestations of God. But the land is still dry and parched. They're far away from the realities that God has promised us. May our hearts be brought into the economy of illumination, that each and everyone will see that which God intends to implement for the territory. May the season of our visitation not close off and meet an unreadiness to partner with God. Oh Lord, we call upon you. Siga mama makoria sakuskete bokola mahasi. Lai moro kosi kobresko fila mahande. Jeni akusa makai toke mobonda. Brahma hasaka bonte isko bela kuria. La bonda yeko sama kate bosha kadia. Manto seka bebo roske. La ai kompa la kuria babasika tamenande. Bresko fandi haba la toske tema. Biga hapa kuda. That we might enter into that which you have ordained. At least let us drink of a little of it, so that we will not be satisfied with the drought that is in the land. Do something tonight. Do something this weekend. Do something this weekend, so that an alarm can be sounded in the city of Kano. Oh, Psychopena Halabunda Sik. Presko Falamakanda Babon Sali. Yakababa Kose Kabalataria. Maikantezo Zoma Ampala. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. We magnify your name. Jesus Santelia, Jesus Santelia. Baranaska tobelante, Yakabosa Makapresco fila bakatalia, and tobezo santeli makata bonde se bregete, Rakabosa Makalia Braskatala Babonda, Yakabezo senahabi, Plantesuka Banda Baboria, Mahai Sosali, Mahai Sosala Kabalata, Mahai Soseko Braske Tobena, Mahai Takombela, Isko Paka Nahatekoski. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. And we ask, O God, that you take us into that place beyond the veil, that each and every one of us might have an experience that we cannot deny. Such an experience that will register the consciousness of a certain reality that is sustained in the spirit, of which you intend to implement. Let each and every one of us have a personal encounter of these things during the course of these days as we camp around your spirit. Let your name be glorified in Jesus' mighty name. You may be seated. The Lord bless you indeed. Hallelujah. I want to apologize for the confusion that came up that led to the change of our venue. And I want to thank everyone that, in spite of that, was able to make it to the new venue. The Lord is going to bless us these days in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, let us begin from Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. For those of you that are outside, you are a very, very critical part of this meeting. And the Lord will be reaching out to you where you are seated out there in the name of Jesus. I sincerely hope that you can hear my voice. So those of you outside, if you can hear me, can you wave? Okay, they can hear me. That's great. Hallelujah. God bless you with the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let us begin with Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We'll do Bible study for 35 minutes. And after 35 minutes, the Holy Spirit will come. So I'll stop talking. Then we allow Him direct the affairs of the meeting. Because my objective this weekend is not really to teach, but to bring everybody to a point of a personal experience. Something that will remain with you after the conference is over. Something that will be the reason why you are stirred up to continue on the path of spiritual progress, in spite of the fact that you may not find so many people that sustain that persuasion. I'm trusting God for your life and for my life in the name of Jesus Christ. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God made man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. I'd like us to take a moment of time, because we'll be building for 3 days. So we'll start from the basic point, and we'll take a moment of time to begin to analyze the blueprint that was associated with the creation of this functionary called man. We're going far, but if we don't get the basics right, if we stumble into deep talk, so many people will not have the foundations upon which those deep talks are established. So I want to start from a very primary scripture as we trust God to gain mileage through his grace. All right, if we study and see the blueprint for the creation of this functionary called man, you realize that in the implementation of the policy that was sustained in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, the implementation is in verse 27. Now, the objective of the creation of this functionary is that he will be a personality of dominion. There is a need to bring order to the physical realm, the kind of order that is sustained in heaven. And so God creates a functionary, domiciles him in the earth, and the intention that God had in mind concerning this functionary is for him to exercise dominion, exercise authority. You see, the very creation of this being poses a question. If this guy is going to have dominion, where is the source of the dominion that he's going to exercise? Or where is the source of the authority that he's supposed to exercise? That's the first question that this whole arrangement poses. He's supposed to be a creature of dominion. He's supposed to be the idea of a metaphor of authority, because he is designed to bring order to the realm. But we need to ask ourselves, where is the source of this dominion that this functionary is going to exercise? That's the first question. Second question. In the implementation of the policy, which was captured in verse 26, how that God says, let us make man, let him be our own, in our own image and after our likeness. You will see the blueprint for the making of man. Even though man was going to be a creature of dominion, he was also going to be a creature that was going to represent God. He was going to be an example of God. He was going to function according to the way God functions. If you study the blueprint about the creature man, you will realize that this man is not an original being. This man is a copy of another. And that's why the Bible says, let us make man in our own image. So God is the original. Man is a copy. So you are not following. You know, I said we need to do the basic things. If we don't do the basic things, when we go higher, you will not be able to relate with that context if the basic foundation is not put in place. This being that is going to be a creature of dominion is not original. Do you realize that in creation, a goat is more original than a man because, stay with me, because the goat was created after its kind. But man was not created after its kind. Man was created after God's kind. Are you seeing that? So a goat can boast and say, I am an original species. If you want to describe a goat, you describe it by seeing a goat. But if you want to describe man, you will need to have seen God in order for you to be able to adequately describe man, because man was created in the image of God. Man was created after the likeness of God. And the reason why man was created in the image of God is because that is the only way he can be in custody of delegated authority. Now, how many of you have seen a glove before? A hand glove. Hand glove. Have you seen a hand glove before? Those of you outside, have you ever seen a hand glove? All right. The hand glove is manufactured in the likeness of a hand. Is that true? Because the ultimate objective of the glove is that it will play host to a hand someday. So man was created in the image of God because man was designed to be a creature that will play host to God. Don't forget that. Oh my, you're not with me. We have a long way to go, and if I notice you are not following again, I will change the message. This is the one God said I should preach. But if you can't understand it, we will look for another, the type you like in Kano. Breakthrough. You like breakthrough? Okay, we'll change it. So man was created in the image of God because man was designed to play host to God. Therefore, man has the capacity to contact God. Even when you are an unbeliever, if you couldn't contact God, you wouldn't be saved. So the possibility of contacting God exists with every man, including the guys that are walking on the streets that do not know Jesus. Those are testimonies to the fact that this being was created to accommodate God. It was created to be intimate with God so that he will become an illustration of the ways of God. So the second thing about man is that man is not original. Whereas every other creature that is in creation was created after its kind, man was created after the God kind. It means that if we want to see whether we are in adequate compliance with the style of God, we need to know God first. Then you now know that I am not a good example of God. Are you there? At any point in time where we begin to measure ourselves by ourselves, we are falling from the blueprint and we are not wise. Because we are not the examples of ourselves. We are illustrations of a personality that is deeper, vaster than man. So if I limit my assessment of myself to your own model and your own example, I have committed a blunder, because the parameters that I'm looking at in your life with which I am saying you are successful and I'm a failure are not parameters that point to the image of God, are not parameters that point to the likeness of God. So man was created in the image of God so that he can be a recipient of the authority of God. So the first major thing that we cannot escape but stumble into again and again when we read the story of Genesis is this utensil called authority. Divine authority. Are you there? We cannot escape bumping into the need to explore and understand the meaning of divine authority when we read the book of Genesis chapter 1. The thing is this. Follow me carefully. Don't be distracted. The thing is this. If God, for instance, Are you there? If God, for instance, cannot exercise authority over your life, do you know the implication of that? It means God cannot accomplish His divine purpose in your life. Even though He has a divine purpose for you, but He will be unable, totally unable, to accomplish His divine purpose in your life if He cannot exercise His authority over your life. Man was not created because of man. Man was created because of God. Man was created because God wanted him to be part of an administrative system that extends the services of government into the physical realm that we are in now. So it is because of the kingdom that man was created. Apart from God's need, are you there? I don't know why God decided that he would be restricted and limited to the realm of the spirit. Because the book of John chapter 4 verse 23 says that God is spirit. I don't know why God decided to restrict himself solely to the spirit realm. That is his personal decision, which was occasioned by a royal decree that he made. But you see, the reason why God was not at risk when he decided to restrict himself to the invincible realm is because he created man. Are you there? The idea for which man became relevant was that God, you know, he created you in his image. So God intends to wear you. So you become the container that carries him around, and he gives you directives. So through your vessel, he is still factored into the natural creation that he decided by royal decree to be separate from. So it means you are part of the infrastructure that allows him access to be able to influence this physical realm because of the way you were created in his image. And after his likeness. So he created you in his image so that you can be a partaker of his authority. He created you in his likeness so that you can represent him. So we have an issue of representation. We have an issue of dominion, which is an issue of exercising his authority, so that anything that falls out of line with the prescription of God, you will have requisite authority to bring that thing back to line. Are you picking it gradually? Oh, you are not following. Now, because you are not following, I see you are struggling, you are trying to. Because you are not following, I'm going to digress for 15 minutes to give you a recap. Maybe the recap will now restore your understanding. Then we'll now start to continue from where I'm going. It's a long journey. It's a long journey. You will see God's intention to be able to exercise influence through man upon the face of the earth. And any time man decides to disalign himself from God, the presence and the policies of God, the dimensions of God's plan that he has in his heart, he will not be able to implement it, because the creature that he has made, created, which is a creature that will introduce him to this natural realm, have decided to rebel against him. The most terrible thing we can do against God is to rebel against God. Because when we do that, what happens is that God no longer has any system by which he can influence the natural realm. And that's why the first proposal that the devil presented to Adam when he visited the Garden of Eden was a proposal for rebellion. Because the moment we are disaligned from God, God will no longer be able to implement the intentions that he has in mind, because we are like a conduit that will bring God into this realm. Are you still with me? Stay with me. Are you with me? Oh, you are all welcome. All of you that traveled so far to be here, God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. So we are like, if you are a student of physics and we set up a circuit and the circuit is not complete because one conductor is missing. Even though the circuit is powerful, the batteries are fasting, energy is available, the circuit will not run because there is a fracture in the connection. Man is part of God's conductivity system. We will need to be in alignment with Him in order for Him to begin to exercise His goodwill upon the face of the earth. Just in case in your family. Are you there? Just in case in your family. And the presence of Satan, the policies of Satan, the principles of Satan are being accomplished. Are you there? You notice that people die young, they die in their prime, beautiful ladies cannot get married. All of those things are contradictory to the intentions of God. So when that begins to happen, it will interest you to know that those things are the intentions of the devil. So when you begin to see the intentions of the devil find expression within your domain, it means there is a man there that is aligned to the devil, that is giving the devil the right of way to colonize the realm. Oh, you are not following. When you see evil things taking place, many of us will begin to look for spirit. That's not the first place to look for. Because spirits on their own cannot invade our realm without our permission. We need to look for men first. There are men that have aligned with darkness. So when we look at Kano now, for instance, and we see that the policies we see implemented are not the policies of God. Are you there? The things we see implemented are things that are contrary to God's intention. It means that there is a problem, there is a challenge of alignment with God's people that will become His foot soldiers if we align to Him, actually dissociated from His heart. And that is why there is a fracture in the implementation of the plans of God. You must understand that in this arrangement, it is not up to God, it's up to man to align to God. The plans of God are already available. The resources by which God intends to implement His plans are already available. But the problem that we have on ground is the creature that God introduced in the equation, and that creature is called man. Are you still with me? Let me take you on a further journey in this exposition to the book of Psalms. Who is there in the book of Psalms? If you are there, say amen. Psalms 82. I will read from verse 1. Just follow me. Just stay with me. Stay with me. Don't worry. We need to take time to build, to do some Bible study so that there will be understanding before we go into deep matters. In Psalms 82 verse 1, the Bible says that God standeth. Now, I need to tell you why I'm in Psalms 82. The reason why I'm in Psalms 82 is because I want to take a moment to explain to us. Hallelujah. Who that creature, man, is. That's why we are here. Because I was trying to explain using the window available to us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, and it was creating confusion. So I had to introduce another scripture that gives us a wider elbow to understanding. And that's why we are in the book of Psalms 82, the gods. And so we have two gods. We have God, the big G, Then we have gods in small g. And when you see gods in that verse 1, many of us will think he's talking about Amadioha. It's not, it has no business with Amadioha. As we read, you will find out that he's not talking about the deity of your village. May the Lord give you understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ. So God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. I'm still trying to draw your attention. The moment you give me your heart, then I'll stop talking because the anointing will come. What I'm doing now is to draw the anointing. That's all I'm doing. But you are still in the market. You are still in Sabongeri. You are still. You have not yet arrived the venue of the meeting. He said, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. And he told us the reason why he's standing. Because if you read your Bible, you will find out that God does not stand. God, he doesn't stand. And the reason why God doesn't need to stand is because God does not rule with brute strength. God rules with authority. And you see, authority is majestic. A king can sit on a throne and stretch forth his scepter. And the meaning of that scepter he has stretched is that you have access. And if you are coming and he refuses to stretch his scepter, they will take you and kill you. He doesn't need to stand to do that because his authority is effective even if he's sitting. So he doesn't need to stand. He rules his kingdom through the instrumentality of authority. But the Bible reveals, and it will interest you to know, that in this entire Bible, within the limits of my own understanding of the Bible, I've studied it a little, alright? In this entire Bible, God stands 3 times. And this is one of them. And one of the reasons for which God will be standing is because of judgment. Can you hear that? In order for God to judge, he stands up from his throne to judge. Are you still... Let me not trouble you. Do you still remember in the book of Acts when people were stoning Stephen and Stephen looked into the heavens and Jesus was standing? That's the second place. And the reason why he was standing was that he was expecting Stephen to pronounce a judgment and he would have accomplished it. But Stephen decided to say, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. Anytime our God wants to judge, what he does is that he is standing. So I just wanted to establish that. So that God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. You see, before God judges, he will take you to the classroom. And then he will give you education on the things you did wrong for which he wants to judge you. God will not just wake up and just say, you hell, you fire. No. He will pat you on the back first, bring you to class. And it will give you a proper education of the violations you have made. So that when he comes to judge you, you will not argue with him. You will accept his judgment without argument. So this is what God wants to do right now. He wants to judge among the gods. As we read, as we continue with the reading, you will find out that these gods that the Bible is making reference to are not deities but men like you and me. Are you there? Alright. Next verse. Verse 2. He said, how long? This is God now. He's in the classroom trying to teach the gods that he wants to judge. He said, how long will he judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? He said, defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Now, I think I need to explain to you. These men, as you will come to realize, don't believe they are men yet until we can establish it. These men that God wants to judge, what happened in this particular case is that these are individuals that God gave his authority. Just like Adam was prescribed to be a creature that will be a carrier of the authority of God. Adam was prescribed to be a creature that will be created in the likeness of God so that he will have the capacity to represent God. So if God wants an errand, wants to speak to a nation, then he now sends you to represent him. That is the reason for which That is the hope that God had, for which he created you in his likeness, so that you will grow in his nature to a point that you can represent his interest. Are you there? Now, so these guys are recipients of the things that God wants to give to Adam. But unfortunately for these guys, they decided to use the authority and the capacity that God gave them. They decided to use that authority to oppress the people for which God gave them the authority to defend. Are you following me? God anointed them. God gave them authority to defend the poor, to defend the fatherless, people that have no protection. That is the reason for which he gave them the authority. So that in that authority is the defense of the poor. In that authority is the defense of the fatherless. In that authority is the defense of the downtrodden. But instead of these guys to comply with the policies of heaven in dispatching the responsibility associated with the authority that they carried, they decided to join Satan with that authority, with that investment, to oppress the people that were under oppression for which God called them to represent him. If you are still with me, say amen. Do you realize that as a pastor, what God has done is that he gave you anointing. And for every strand of anointing he makes available to you, there is a people that need to be defended, that he saw, that occasioned the decision of choosing you to become a recipient of the anointing. It is in keeping with the need for their defense that he decided to raise you up. Do you know it is possible for that anointing to be the object of attraction that you use as the instrument to make the people oppress that same anointing? You are not following me. You don't believe me. I don't want to go into examples so that you will not say he's exposing us. That's why I don't want to. I went to preach in Enugu. And when I began to preach in Enugu, I gave a word of knowledge about a young lady that was deaf. And the family members brought the deaf lady to me. So I was now asking the family members, how did she become deaf? Was she born deaf? They said she wasn't born deaf. How did she become deaf? She attended a meeting and the pastor laid hands on her, and that's how she became what? Deaf. I don't want to. You know, I said I don't want to bring examples because. Hey, I don't want to go there. The story of her death. Okay, let me leave. In my own little practice of ministry, I have been privileged, maybe through the grace of God or the mercy of God on my life, people from different parts of the world bring cases for deliverance for us to handle. This is a secret I can tell you. 40% of the deliverance cases that we are handling are cases that were occasioned by pastors. Today I want to be a good person. I want to be friendly. I want to. Hallelujah. Yes. People that are suffering from bleeding. How did the bleeding start? A pastor forced the lady and slept with the lady, and for 6 years she was bleeding. It was the deliverance prayer we prayed that the bleeding stopped. Are you following what I'm talking about? Okay, you have denied it. That's why I say I don't want examples. You see, these guys that were anointed, these guys that were given the authority, instead of them to use the authority to defend the poor, to defend the oppressed, what they did was that they came into partnership with Satan, and they were using the same authority to oppress the people that God raised them to defend. And that is the reason for which God said he will be standing to judge the gods. Now, if you don't know the purpose for which you were created, you are likely to be borrowed by Satan. To be borrowed by Satan to accomplish the mystery of wickedness. And you'll be using the resources that God made available to you to do His will upon the face of the earth, to accomplish the destruction that Satan is borrowing you to join him to accomplish. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
So there was a long lecture that God gave, and this lecture was so that he could open the understanding of the people that he invested his authority over, that he invested his anointing over, that he invested his power over. What I'm trying to use this scripture to show you is that at any point in time where we are no longer in alignment with God, you become an agent of the devil. You know, your definition of who an agent of the devil is needs to be updated quickly. Because an agent of the devil is anybody whatsoever, whether pastor, preacher, or bishop, that is not fully surrendered to Jesus. He can be borrowed, and the anointing and the reputation that he has gained because of the investment of God upon his life will now become part of the paraphernalia that will be used to oppress the people of God. At any point in time when you are not in alignment with God, you are available to the devil to be borrowed. And that was what happened in the Garden of Eden. Adam eventually was borrowed. And Satan was the one that was using his own Adamic authority to rule the earth, because Adam was eventually borrowed. You see, the risk, you are not seeing, you are not following me. The risk that God will have to keep up with, because he decided to create Adam. And it will interest you to know that in the history of God, the first time God experienced rejection was when he created us. First time in the history of God. Huh? Are you there? God was, what I'm saying is, God was okay before we were. The first problem God was going to have. Are you there? The first problem God was going to have was man. Because the moment angels rebelled against God, they became demons. Their place in the estate of God was blotted out completely. But you see, the angels rebelled against God in eternity. That was why their judgment was already given. Oh, you're not with me. We are in time. So there is an elastic, there is an allowance that exists. Because our rebellion is in time. So there is possibility for redemption. That was why God did not stage any comeback for the redemption of angels. Because they sinned. Where? Are you with me? So a human being that decides to be a rebel, that dies a sinner and goes into eternity, what is his case? Oh, you are not following. Let us change this topic. You see, we are... May the Lord. That's why I say we should pray before we. We have this in Bible study. This is not prophecy. And using this Bible study, if we build it, then we'll be able to interpret the prophecy over the land. The Bible study is not just to educate you, it's to update. You know, sometimes some application softwares on your computer, you update it. We are trying to update. Your own is obsolete. So we are trying to update it so that you can operate with new technology, recent heavens technology. Hallelujah. Are you there? The first problem that is going to happen. So man sinned in time. Angels sinned when? In eternity. Because they sinned in eternity, there was no way God could show them his nature of love. It was his nature of judgment that he showed them. There was no allowance for him to show his nature of love. So we sinned in time. So God had the opportunity to show a sign that he didn't show angels. And that's why the Bible says, for God so loved. So he now unpacked that dimension of love to become the operating system with which he would deal with us, because we're steeped in rebellion. And because of our rebellion, we were no longer useful to him. We were more useful to the devil than we were to him. We're not useful to him. The arrangement for which he designed us, he created us, was so that we could be in his image. We could be after his likeness. So if that creature can no longer be in God's image and in God's likeness, that creature is no longer useful to God. The first definition of our usefulness to God, are you there? Is in this terminology we say again and again and again, is tied to our alignment with God. If you are not in alignment with God, you are not useful to God. But you are useful to the devil. Do you understand it? If you are not in alignment with God, it means you have decided to take a posture that is contrary to the posture of God's pleasing, so God cannot exercise his authority over your life. If you go to town, see somebody riding a tricycle, and then God opens your eyes, then you now discover that that guy was supposed to be a mighty evangelist. But you see, he's an unbeliever. And because he's an unbeliever, God cannot exercise his authority over his life. And even though God has great plans for him, it cannot come to pass in that state. Something must happen that will bring him under the influence of God's authority before God's plan can. Do you get that? Do you understand that? Now, I am also saying to us that even though we are born again, it is still possible. Even though we are born again, it's still possible for us to operate in disalignment. And when that happens, the possibility of knowing what is on the heart of God and what we are supposed to represent in this generation is hidden from us. We are praying in tongues, going to church, trusting God for breakthrough, but all of those our desires is coming from ourselves, not from the heart of God. So in that situation, are you there?
Yes.
In that situation, you have been measured as a creature of time. I will tell you the meaning of that. Come to me. You are doing things according to time. You are not operating according to the witness that came from eternity. You are not useful in this current era because of your disalignment. Meanwhile, it doesn't mean you are not full of activity. Doesn't mean you don't have good desires and good intentions for yourself. But you see, what you were created to be in God, and that significant thing that God has concerning this season, you cannot fulfill it because you have sustained a posture that is a fracture, a departure from alignment. I need to tell you what it means to be measured into time, because that is the description of the state of Canaan. Come with me. We are still in Psalms 82. He said, defend the poor and the fatherless. He said, do justice to the afflicted and needy. He said, deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Then he goes to verse 5, which is educational. In verse 5, he gives us an example. And the example he gives us in verse 5 is the example of Adam and Eve, where I just read. It is because of your lack of understanding of what I was trying to present that I had to come to this scripture. Are you there? This is the story of Adam and Eve. He said, they know not. You know, when Apostle Ben came to welcome me, he brought a charge. And the charge was that Moses, when he was 40 years old, something happened to him. Yes, I can. It's the time to play. I'm not saying don't play. I'm just saying it was too loud. Can you allow this minstrel's instrument to sound? Whoever is in charge of this arrangement. Sorry, I'm like Elisha. In order for me to prophesy, I need a minstrel. So, bear with me. Huh? Bear with me. When he picks up, and if he's on this... Okay, leave it there. Leave it there. Are you still with me? Stay with me, don't worry. The Bible says they know not. Moses, when he came of age, the Bible says it came to his heart. It was destiny. that came to his heart. The reason for which he had to be adopted in the palace of Pharaoh. The reason for which he had the opportunity to be educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. The reason for which his own life was different from the life of the average Israelite. There was an inspiration that came from God that tied all the variables in his destiny and summed it up in one strand of insight. The Bible says that it what? Came. Now, see, what we're trying to do is to move us out of the periphery and come into the full economy of the workings of God, so that each and every one of us will come to that point where something is born in your heart. Before you get to that point, I need to tell you what it means to be measured into time. The Bible says that no. This is the state of the average man that is outside of the courts of God. He is a modicum of investment, but he doesn't know why God gave him those endowments. Some of us seated here as scholars. When you went to university, BUK. Is it BUK they call it? Oh, at least I still remember that. Even though I don't know what BUK means anymore, but I still remember BUK. When you went to BUK, you had intellectual properties, capacity. But you don't know why. You compare yourself to other people and with other people, and you pride yourself as a more excellent personality. But you don't know why. Just like Moses, he had the opportunity to grow in the palace of Pharaoh. He didn't know why. As he moves on the street, he had guards that protected him. He had an elated kind of living, an elated existence. But he didn't know why until destiny came into his heart. If destiny doesn't come into your heart, you are measured into time. Everything you do is like a creature of time. There is no purpose and no significance that is attributed and attached to your rising and your going forth. In that situation, you are squandering the resources of God and you are not approximating to become a tool in the hands of God. It's a depraved state of existence that is a departure from God's intent. The Bible says that God hunted Moses and it came to his heart. Something was born. And that which was born in his heart was going to change everything. It was going to change his vista of measurement. It was going to change his perspective. It was going to change his preferences. It was going to be the reason behind the strange choices that he made. Because something that was of the economy of God, something that was of the purpose of God, something that was of the will of God, began to live upon his heart. He became a different man altogether. From that point, the Bible says that he chose never to be called another day the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Meanwhile, that status gave him access to well-being. I even read from historical books how that he was being tipped to become the Pharaoh of Egypt. Because in those days, it's in these days that they consider only people that come from the family of the male that are relevant. In those days, it was not so. He was being tipped to become the Pharaoh of the land. His designation as the daughter of Pharaoh's, as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, was a designation that entitled him to riches, entitled him to wealth, entitled him to royalty. Meanwhile, that's what we are looking for. We want wealth. We believe that the great things of our life will begin to happen when you stumble on some form of wealth. That life is not happening for you yet. You are waiting for when you have a Benz, a Mercedes-Benz, a 2022 edition, that when you enter into it, that one that has a way of massaging your backbone, the alignment of your backbone, that's when life will start. Meanwhile, the man that destiny woke up in his heart
was going to leave all of that wealth in search of an uncertain destiny, because he was propelled by the illumination that came because his heart began to understand what the purpose of God is for that moment, for that day, for that time. I've always prayed, I don't want to live empty. I don't want to live running after the mundane things that the sons of the bondwoman will run after. It means my life does not make any sense. My life does not make any meaning. That is, oh my God. Man is a creature of the kingdom. If you take him outside of kingdom reality, administering kingdom things, he is a useless entity that Satan will borrow. So I worked in the oil industry. My last salary before I resigned was 1.2 million. I was not a poor man. My last housing allowance was 15 million per year. They'll give you 15 million and ask you look for a house that you like. And you stay for 1 year. And then next year they give you another 15 million. I was 2 weeks away from writing the exam that would have made me a manager. And I don't fail exams by God's grace. Hallelujah. My table would have been big. You know that? Have you been to those offices where you see big? The chair is like a bed. 2 weeks before that exam, then Jesus comes to me and says, "You resign now." If I had made that exam, written that exam, my husband allowance would have skyrocketed. And that's not the whole, you know, I have health allowance, I have other allowances that will be coming in the year, wardrobe allowance, and, you know, to change your wardrobe once every year and render obsolete the things that were there previously. Men, that this thing is living in them, will leave that estate that is furnished with earthly goods in search of that which is on the heart of God. That is when you really begin to live. Listen to me. While I stepped here 21 years ago, in the place of prayer, we saw that God wanted to build an estate, an empire of his glory in the land of Canaan. I'm back 21 years later. We were better off than what I saw in the city as they drove me around. Yeah. And the thing about man is that he operates in time with the hope that he will invest in eternity that is timeless. Oh, you are not falling. I see that you did not pray before you came. That's why what I'm saying sounds strange. Meanwhile, this is the basics. So what God does for man is that he puts him in time and then with the hope that he will invest in the timeless through his commitment to that which the Spirit of God quickens within his heart. And as he serves the will of God, as he perceives it by the Holy Ghost, he's investing into the immortal terrain. And that investment will abide forever. Now, see, anything you get here, maybe you get the limousine that you're asking for. When they say, you will get... Sister, stand up. Let's do a test now, quick test. Can you arm her with a microphone quickly? Meanwhile, I don't even know her name. I don't know her name. So that you... Have we met before? Have we ever met before? Okay, so we have not met before. So just so that you will know that we did not plan it. So give her a mic. What's your name? There's a problem with the mic.
Monica, sir. Monica Moses.
Alright, she says her name is Monica. If you are given 1 million naira this night, what will you do with it? Wait. Because most of you go for power night. They say, the next 1 million is coming. Hallelujah. When the people there don't need it, they don't need it. You are answering a wrong prayer. You are in the wilderness. You are not in destiny. So everything is appealing to you. But men of destiny will leave Egypt. We leave that glory to search for something that can only be found on the heart of God. Monica, what will you do with 1 million?
To boost my mother's business.
You boost your mother's business?
Yes.
You know, since I've started asking this question, this is even the best answer that I've had for many years that I've been asking this question. It's all right. You can give the microphone back. Now listen. The things you say amen to are not things you need. You don't even know what you need until you begin to prosecute destiny. You don't know what you need. The things you claim you need are things that if you get, it will obstruct you from fulfilling destiny. So when Moses saw it, he began to wonder. He journeyed out of everything that we are pursuing to get now. Where he was going was unfounded, unknown. He didn't know what he would meet there. But it was a life that he would have in that place that is unknown, that will become the strength upon which God will stand to bring government over a nation. So even though you are endowed to be a vessel through which God can extend his tentacles in the earth and manifest his glory, until your heart can capture the witness that is upon the heart of God, you will waste in time. And you will not know that this your pilgrimage through time is a window of investment that God has opened to you so that you can invest into a realm that lasts forever. Only wise men will spend their lives serving the cause of Jesus, because this life is mundane. It will end. It will finish. But those ones that spent investing into eternity, you will be standing on the island that your investment created in that world that is to come. So just in case we get there and you don't have an estate, just in case we get there and you realize that you did not invest into that realm, that is what will determine your status in that realm, your current level of investment towards the accomplishment of the dream of God that is coming from yonder. Are you with me? He said they know not. Adam did not know that he was the key to operate creation. And the moment he rebelled against God, all of creation rebelled against him. The reason why you are majoring on breakthrough now is because creation has rebelled against you. That's why you see breakthrough to be a very candid subject that you need to pursue. The day you begin to walk in alignment, the sun, moon, the star, the city of Canaan will work with you to accomplish the mission that God has sent you to accomplish. There's something about you that is bigger. It's bigger than your circumstance. Many of you interpret your life on the strength of circumstance. There is something about you bigger than your circumstance, bigger than your situation. If only your heart can be open to see it. Meanwhile, if your heart doesn't see it, you are blind. You will live another life. You will be fake. The things written about you in the book will not be manifested. Time doesn't have the capacity in itself to deliver you. So you will see someone that can live in falsehood until old age. So time itself doesn't have what it takes to save him. They know not, neither will they understand. The Bible says they walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. He's speaking about Adam and Eve. Because of the choice that they made. That word foundations there in the Hebrew is the same word for bone. This, the structure that bones, your bones create. Do you realize that if they take the bones off me, all my flesh will just fall? There will be no shape. Huh? So it's the bones that gives you this shape. The earth now became meaningless because of the error of Adam. And what I mean by that is that the governor that was designed to administer the visible creation is the Holy Ghost. The day Adam violated his authority, the Holy Spirit withdrew from this physical creation. The purposes of God were no longer in this physical creation. What was left in this physical creation was vanity upon vanity. All cycles and circles of vanity. It made no meaning. It struck no chord in the heavens. Because the Holy Ghost that was supposed to be the governor here was violated. And he left the creation. So, he was in custody of the manual that was supposed to operate every item in this creation. So when he withdrew with it. So mosquito that was supposed to be taking nectar from flowers, when Holy Spirit went with the manual, it now takes blood. The foundations of the earth are out of course. Everything was now working not according as God planned. Because the rebellion of man set the pace for rebellion in the entire creation. That was the power that was available to Adam and Eve that he did not know. Do you know the powers available to you? That if you miss your destiny, there are a string of people whose lives are connected to you that will wander in darkness. You don't know that. That's why you live for yourself. You live for your breakthrough. You live for your financial survival. You live for your economic survival. That's the kind of perspective that we have held for years that has shut the gates of the kingdom to our city. And a new generation will have to rise that has a different perspective. And the orientation of this generation is after the order of Matthew chapter 6, which says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So the guy has seen something in God that he considers superior to himself and is willing to go out of himself to pursue it. And when he begins to pursue it, the things that he needs to prosecute that destiny, it will begin to navigate in his direction. As long as you continue pursuing what will benefit you, you have been measured into time like Adam. Let me show you what it means to be measured into time. Are you there? Verse 6 of Psalms 82. We read 6 and 7. And then I will begin to round up with my teaching. I will continue tomorrow. Maybe Sunday night we'll begin interpretation. So we still need to do some teaching to upgrade you. Because if you've been in the wilderness for long, you don't even know the sound of the mountain. So we need to labor for update. Then we'll begin to interpret. That's when we'll realize that there's a path that no fowl knows. The vulture's eyes have not seen it, the Bible says. The lion's webs have not trodden it, and the fierce lions have not passed by. Now, see this, read verse 6 as I try to round up. I have said, ye are gods. So he has explained who the gods are. Are you there? And all of you are children of the Most High God. The second thing he brings here, that gods there means authorities. I have bequeathed to you authority, so that you can use it to implement my purpose upon the face of the earth. This is the original script. You are authorities. Secondly, he said, all of you are children of the Most High God. That means you have a commanding officer. You are not just an authority that is rogue, but you are operating under the influence and the government of the ultimate authority. The only way you can be safe when you handle utensils given to you from heaven is that you must surrender to him that is of heaven. Because the Bible says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for what? God was with him. the thing that God gave him, which was the anointing, he still needed the Father to be following him around to operate it. Are you there? There is a temptation for you to think that now that you are anointed, you have arrived. You don't need God to be with you. That rising of yours is unto destruction. Because you have not acknowledged that even though we are gods, but we are children of what? Of the Most High God. And that means that if God cannot exercise his authority over your life, even if you get resources from him, the resources will be used to destroy your life. Because you have not submitted so that he can regulate the use of the things that you have received from him. He said, you are the children of the Most High. Yes, next verse. Verse 7 is the judgment that came on these gods. He said, but ye shall die like men. First sentence is mortality. What we call mortality was not part of the first program. The ability to die like mortals was not part of the first estate. And that's why in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life was there. Oh, somebody's not here. If they have eaten the tree of life, they would have known nothing like death. But you see, because of the error that they committed, death now became part of our civilization. He said, ye shall die like men. That's the first sentence, is mortality. You will operate in space and time. You will no longer have any vital link to the heavens. You will be a creature of the moment, a creature of the time, a creature of the aeon, a creature of the age, and you will perish and vanish, and your memory will finish. You will only be featured in time. Your life will lack the ability to strike any chord in eternity. Ye shall die like mortals. Second theme, second element of the judgment is that, and ye shall fall. This is where God measured into time, like one of the princes. What is not told you most of the time is that Adam had a seat in heaven's parliament. It is the loss of his position in heaven's parliament that is described as the fall of man. Have you ever read the scripture that reveals that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places? The place and the designation of man affords him an opportunity in the parliament of heaven. I don't have time to go to the book of Ephesians to tell you your heavenly reality. Because our nationality is of heaven, we are only ambassadors upon the face of the earth. And there are many things about our estate in the heavenlies that you need to understand in order for you to be a good ambassador. Adam lost the opportunity to feature in the heavenlies. And he was measured into time. So this kind of creature, the politics of the land can affect him. Because he's a creature of time. He has no reinforcement from heaven. He has no perspective from heaven. He cannot access utensils of heaven. He's just time-based. So the politics of the land will affect him. He's time-based. So the economy of the space will affect him. He's time-based. The witchcraft in the realm will affect him. Everything that happens in the natural realm will affect him because he has been reduced to a creature of the natural. That's what happens when we're in disalignment. I'm going to stop my lecture here for today. This is the first part of the lecture. We'll continue tomorrow. And what we are trying to understand before we begin to prophesy is what God conceived in his heart before he created you. There was a conception that he sustained. There was a hope that he had. And when he was creating you in the studio, when you first existed as a seed of eternity, it was with great hope. In fact, are you there? Oh, you are not there. You are not for me. As he was trying to forge you in the studio, God himself was afraid. You know why? The scripture says that you are fearfully It was God that was afraid that if I make a mistake now, this creature will not have the wiring that is needed to fulfill that destiny. So God was afraid when he was modeling, was fashioning your capacities, your wiring, your abilities, your ordination. That creature that God was afraid when he was making in the studio, does it look like the person that is in Kano now? Does it look like you now? There is an ailment we came here to cure. It's an ailment of disalignment. That is what measures you into time. You no longer have the capacity to fulfill the script that is written about you in the heavens. I don't want to wander and die like a mortal. There is something beyond space and time that is part of my makeup, part of my ordination. I came here to travel through pathways ordained and governed by the Spirit so that I can become entitled to take hold of my inheritance. My journeys are not as significant as the destiny that I hope to accomplish through them. For you, life will have a deeper meaning, a higher essence. Many will be running from the things, running away from the things you will be running to, just because you have a little illumination upon your heart. And concerning Moses, the Bible says that it came to him. There is an insight. There is a walking of the Spirit of God that will need to visit the heart of every Christian in Kano. Because we have seen in the Spirit that that opportunity that came about 20-something years ago, that we lost as a body in a city, in this land, that window wants to open again. And I'm hoping that God will be able to find sufficient foot soldiers that are adequately and ardently in alignment with him to accomplish what he intends to bring into the territory in this new season of God's visitation, in the name of Jesus Christ. Once upon a time, when we were still on campus, it was like 1997 or thereabout, and we were still on campus and we were praying. And how old, Monica? Is it Monica? How old were you in 1997? So in 1997, we're in serious prayers, and hallelujah. And then the heart of God now opened to us. And one of us began to prophesy, began to speak about the plans of God, the plans of God that God has ordained for us to be part of. He began to tell us about our significance. Because when the people that were gathered there were not the way we were looking, there was really nothing significant about us. But you see, there was a plan that made us relevant. Without that plan, we are absolutely irrelevant. Heaven will be planning without including us. Are you there? So, our hearts opened. And then that prophetic word began to come. It began to come. It began to come. And then we started writing it. As the prophet was, because we know the prophet. The prophet has that grace to enter into the economy of the mind of God and to bring forth what is there in simple, plain language as Jesus would have done if we were physically present talking. So we began to document the utterances. And we began to document it. It was something beyond what we could imagine for ourselves. But we knew that the Holy Ghost was speaking through that sister, that night. Do you know? When the time for those prophetic utterances to come to pass, our prophet, the sister, she had been delayed in marriage. So the only thing on her mind was, I need to marry. So she was knocking on the door. I hope you know marriage is legitimate. Oh, you're not with me. Marriage is a legitimate, it's a good thing. But there was something superior to marriage that was about to be fulfilled. And God used her vocal cord to speak it. When that time came, she was not available. She was knocking on the door of marriage. may you not be pursuing something else when God has come to answer your prayers. Yes. 21 years ago when I came here for youth service, that's when I met my friend Ben Borno. And we had a burden to pray. I began to exercise ourselves in the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit. Today we are living the things God said. God told us we are living it. Now, at least we have started. Huh? We have started small. This is not all of it, but it is quite a wonder to see that we heard God said it and we lived long enough to still remain in alignment for Him to consider that He will conscript us into the fulfillment of the things that He has said. Kano, I came to tell you that there's a word that is hanging over you, and three times you have missed this window, and the window is about, don't worry, you will see some of the window before we go. The window opens again over the land. And God will conscript men and women to run the errands of the kingdom of God and to bring to pass the mind of God. If you are still here, say amen. Amen. We are going to pray for 2 minutes. Because it's a prophetic and a prayer meeting. As we access the mind of God, we'll begin to process it in prayer. And as God begins to show mercy, He will begin to implement His intention, begin to implement His plan. He will begin to implement His purpose. Can you rise? Let's pray for 2 minutes. 2 minutes. I came to tell you that a window over the city has opened, and God is expecting to reap a harvest of men that will come into alignment and partnership with Him to accomplish His heart desire in these days. The season opens up on us. The dryness that is in the land is about to face an invasion of the waters, the rivers of heaven, about to come into the territory. I am available to be used to accomplish your plan. I am available. We waited long for this time so that your plans can unfold, so that the destiny that you have for the land can find expression. We waited long, we waited long. So we say tonight in one voice as a congregation that, Lord, that it might please you again to choose from among us men and women that you will invest your grace upon, that you will invest your spirit upon, that you will invest your power upon. The Lord wants to visit the northern Nigeria, the northern part of Nigeria. There is a mighty hand of the Spirit of God that is beginning to rise after a long time. This hand will challenge the gods of northern Nigeria. This hand will challenge the darkness that is in the territory. That hand of God, it is rising again. For those of you that have been interceding, those of you that have been praying, trust in God. This is the time for which you live in the presence of God.
grace will be released from the throne of grace. Oh my God. Oh my God. Things will change. Things will begin to change in the territory. Things will begin to change in the landscape.
This is the time we have been waiting for. The rain of glory is about to come on the city of Kano.
In Jesus' name. Now listen. Please listen. Please listen. Hallelujah. All right. I don't know. I'm seeing too many things. I don't know how we'll start. Okay, let's start with number one. I see three angels. Now listen. Just listen. Just please. These three angels, each one has seven ropes. So that's like 21 ropes altogether. Alright? Okay. There are 21 people here. These 21 people here, you'll be given the gift of prophecy. We don't need to say amen, don't worry. Now let me pray. Let me ask God to do it. Father, in the name of Jesus. From my left hand side to my right hand side, to the choir, to the people that are in the overflow outside, to the people watching online. These 21 individuals that will receive the gift of prophecy, I ask, O God, that you stretch forth your hand to my left, to my right, to the back, outside of the place, and let the anointing that will bring them into that dimension of operation, let it begin to rest upon them. Twenty-one of them. It's coming even stronger, even stronger. The anointing comes even stronger. It 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 comes even stronger. Holy Ghost! Move! There are three individuals that I see outside in the overflow. These three individuals I see in the overflow. There is an anointing that will come upon you. It will make you easy to hear the voice of God. It's a prophetic anointing, and it will come strong on those three individuals. In the overflow. It's coming, 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 it's coming. There is an empowerment that is going on, an empowerment. An empowerment is going on. Also, can you help me bring those three individuals from outside? Three individuals from outside. Help me bring them in here. I want to prophesy on them. The Lord will empower you, will equip you to be able to hear His voice clearly. Hallelujah. All right, so you can drop them there. I'll come down. Bring her.
we are going to pray for 2 minutes. Something is opening in heaven. Something is opening in heaven. Something is opening in heaven. It's opening. It's opening. If you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Something is opening. Something is opening. Something is opening. Something is opening. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. It's opening. It's opening. It's opening. It's opening. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. I can't hear your amen. I say, in the name of Jesus. All right. I believe I've received an instruction. Hallelujah. I believe I've received an instruction. You see, the healing anointing is here. And if there is anybody here, inside or outside, that has a condition, can you hear me? Can you hear me? I say, can you hear me? All right. So if there's anyone inside or outside that has an eye condition, you can't see properly, you need to use glasses to read, you are short-sighted, you are long-sighted, anybody like that? Alright, anybody like that outside, please help me check. Yeah, anybody like that with a challenge? Yeah, people like that. Okay. All right. Yes, you can bring your hands down, okay? This is what I want you to do. Remove the glasses from your eyes and lay your hands on your eyes now. Remove the glasses from your eyes. Lay your hands on your eyes now. Lay your hands on your eyes now. Just remove the glasses, okay? It is Sunday night that will be the miracle night. That's when strange things will happen. But we are building capacity and we are launching intercession until we apprehend fully what is on the mind of God. So, but we'll be doing as much as He instructs us little by little until Sunday night. Sunday night, if you have cripples in Kano, people that cannot walk, people that are mentally challenged, you can bring them Sunday night. It will be an explosive moment. Okay? All right, let's pray. I want to pray for the people with the eye condition. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise. We thank you. Thank you for your majesty. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your spirit that is among us. We do not take your presence for granted. Right now, I rebuke every blinding spirit, be bound in the name of Jesus Christ. Blinding spirit, be bound in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command you, come out of their eyes in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of their eyes in the name of Jesus Christ.
I rebuke every short-sightedness, every myopia. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke long-sightedness. I command you, come out of the eyes in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every form of astigmatism. Come out of the eyes in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every form of glaucoma. Come out of the eyes in the name of Jesus. The pain on the sockets of the eyes, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now I command those eyes. I say, eyes, see. Eyes, see. Eyes, see. In the name of Jesus. Remove your hands and conduct a test on your eyes. You have 2 minutes to conduct that test. If you cannot read, begin to read. Test your eyes, test your eyes, test your eyes for 2 minutes. If you already see that there is a change on your eyes, yeah, come on, come on. Don't get me wrong, the real miracle night is Sunday, Sunday. Sunday, I believe that people will walk and leave their crutches behind. I believe that. I believe that blind people will see on Sunday. Alright? Where is Pastor Ben? Okay, this is how we'll do it. Barrister, let them come. Form one line and then you take the testimonies here. Okay? If you notice that your eyes have improved, you can come to give a testimony. We'll take a few testimonies just to encourage the people of the Lord. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Now all of you standing, sit down. I see 3 other people in the congregation that have received healings in their eyes already. So if you are one of them, come up here so that we can take your testimony. A lot of things are happening. There is someone that is here. Hallelujah. Okay. I will no longer go for that. Let me. Are you with me? There's someone here. The witchcraft that is tormenting your family was occasioned by something that was buried in your compound. So while we were praying, I began to see it being removed. Alright? So many things are happening in this place. Yes? What happened to that sister?
Okay, she said for 4 years now, she could not see this light very clearly.
For
this light
years,
that is shining,
she could not
see it. So after the prayers and she opened her eyes, she could see clearly.
Alright, what happened to you? Did you feel anything while I was praying? Did you feel anything? Or you just noticed when you opened your eyes?
When you said she opened her eyes,
yes.
Then I looked at this red light. It was just as if it was directly at my face.
On your face?
Yes, on my face. I could not see you.
Oh, you could not see me?
Yes.
So now you...
Yes, sir.
Oh my God. She was short-sighted. She's crying. She was short-sighted before. And now the Lord has restored her sight. Somebody needs to give praise to the Lord Jesus. There are 2 other people I've already seen that God has healed your eyes. You can come to the stage, okay? But the real miracle night is Sunday. That on Sunday night there will be 5 new week. Don't worry. Till Sunday. Okay. Yes?
Okay, she was short-sighted. She couldn't see things from afar.
For how many years have you been
long?
Short-sighted?
said in February. Okay. She got these glasses
these
in
are
February.
The glasses. Wait. I don't like that noise. Let me. Now, so. Shut up. Don't trouble us. All right. So. Hallelujah. So she's been using these glasses.
Since February, sir.
Since February, she got the prescription because she was short-sighted. And she just realized that the Lord has touched her eyes and she's no longer short-sighted. Can we celebrate Jesus? So your miracle is permanent in the name of Jesus. Now we have another one here. You see, the glasses are so fine that people don't want to give them up. See how this one is like. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Okay, sir. She said she couldn't see this thing written here, Remnant Christian Network Canos, since she was in primary school.
Since she was in primary school. So this is an ancient situation of short-sightedness that the Lord has corrected this time. Meanwhile, wait. You know, most times when we do this, people think we came in the night and then met the people in Sabongeri and say, you will say that your eyes were corrected. You will say, please, I just came today. Is there anybody that was there that picked me from the airport? Please confirm. No, you're not Pastor Ben now. They will say me and you are the ones planning this. Yeah, okay, Titus was at the airport. Who else was at the airport? Okay, they were all at the airport. I just came in today. So there was no time to go to Sabongeri to get people to testify. Meanwhile, have you seen me in your life before, sister?
Yes, in Ilori.
Where?
Ilori.
Ilori?
Yes.
When was that?
I can't remember. When I was in Ilori.
In the rest of Ilori?
Yes.
Were you wearing this then?
Yes, I hold
Jesus it. Christ of Nazareth. I think somebody needs to celebrate Jesus. All right. Lord, we ask that you make this testimony permanent in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Is it still remaining one person?
So, there's a brother here, sir. He said he has been having pain in his eyes.
In the socket.
So much so that he could not recognize people.
Couldn't recognize
he was having people. Struggle to even recognize you. But
oh,
now he said the pain.
To recognize me.
Yes, sir.
Lord, we give you glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. Listen carefully. You know, I know that it's just eyes I prayed for. Right? But there's somebody in the congregation that got healed of a hearing problem while I was praying for people to get healed from their eyes. Can you understand me? There's somebody that came here with a hearing problem. And while I was praying for people to get healed of eye issues, you noticed that you had a miracle. It is you I'm waiting for. Someone has a hearing problem. And your hearing problem has been taken away. Not because we prayed for ears, but the Holy Spirit decided to show mercy. And when the healing anointing began to operate, he sneaked through and touched someone with a hearing issue. This person I'm talking about has a hearing defect on one of the ears. If you are here, come. The Lord has sent me to you. If you are here, come. The Lord has sent me to you. One of your ears has a hearing defect. We did not pray for ears, but that ear has been healed. That's what I'm saying. You have a short while to come here, about 2 minutes to make it from anywhere you are, just in case you are outside. I am waiting for you. The Lord has sent me to you. You were healed of a hearing problem, even though we prayed for eyes. 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 minutes. If you are coming, run here. Jesus has sent me to you. There is something that the Lord wants me to give you tonight, but let me hear your story first. But meanwhile, wait. Did I come to Sabon Geri to? Okay. Because they will say that this is my word of knowledge I give now. We discussed it in Sabon Geri. No. We hear God, okay? We hear God. Maybe men of God have come like that to Kano. I'm not one of them. On Sunday, you will see fire. You know what they call fire? You will see in this place. Yep. Let's hear from him.
Okay, sir. He said he has been having this long, incessant pain in the ear.
Yes.
And it seems as if something is pouring into it.
But something is pouring into
the ear. Yes.
Okay.
But at the instance of the prayer, he said it stopped.
It stopped. Alright, so the Lord will whisper to him. Now, okay, yeah, if you want to clap, let's rejoice in the Lord. Okay. There's something the Lord wants to give you. So I will ask him. Father, he said the only way I will know him is that you will blow through his ears and set him free. Now he has come to testify. So I ask that which he needs to prosecute destiny, let it rest upon him. From the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Yes, this impute in his life that will change everything, let it come upon him tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. That from this place he will go and be empowered with the empowerment required to prosecute destiny in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. If you are in this congregation, inside or outside, and you have not made a commitment to Jesus in turning your life to him, still been living in rebellion, living in sin, even though you have a Christian name and you attend church, but you know you have no covenant with Jesus. Right where you are sitting, I want to invite you to stand up on your feet. I want to invite you to stand up on your feet right where you are sitting so that I can bring you to the point to address Jesus and receive a blessing from him. Stand up from your feet. I salute you, brother, for standing up. Stand up on your feet anywhere you are. Stand up on your feet even if you are outside on the field. Those of you that are standing up on your feet, can you come to me right here so that we can pray together? Can you come to me right here? From outside, from inside. Quickly. Quickly. From outside and from inside. From outside and from inside. Some people are still allowing the devil win the argument over their soul. Can you rebel against the devil and stand with the Lord tonight in the name of Jesus Christ? From outside and from inside, you are welcome in the name of Jesus. If you clap harder, they will come fast. 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 Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you. Yes. If you clap harder, they'll come fast. It is your day of salvation. God wants to turn the story of your life. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Remember, Jesus said, if you deny me in this broken world, I will deny you in the kingdom of my Father. So just in case someone is still struggling there, I'm giving you an opportunity to leave your seat and say yes to Jesus. Those of you that are out here, can you stay with me? Jesus, are you afraid? Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and I cannot help myself. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Don't look at the preacher. The preacher cannot help you. Have mercy on me. Wash me with your blood. Write my name in the book of life. Every covenant I entered into, knowingly or unknowingly, let his power over my soul be broken tonight. Give me the power to live for you all the days of my life in Jesus' mighty name. Is there any counselor that is going to see this once? The counselor is waving to you. Can you march towards that section? And as they go, please celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah.